We're live in the studio now. I'm Jack Peterson, and here with Jim Healy, co-host of the Ta-da! Morning show.
Ta-da!
Usually here on Thursdays, but you've been gone for the last about
six weeks.
Yeah.
I missed all of September with you and half of October.
Carrie Logan sat in for a couple of them.
Oh, bless her soul.
And thank you, Carrie, if you're tuned in. Thank you for doing that. There was no room for her on a few of the other nights when we had, or on the few of the other mornings when we had every microphone full.
I bet you with Steel Magnolia Women.
With Steel Magnolia Women was certainly one of those. Yes. Yeah, that was a full house and a lot of fun. But let's talk. Jim, you've been gone for 6 weeks. And where have you been?
I've been in Spain, walking the Camino de Santiago. I did the French route from St. John Petaport. Then you hop over the Pyrenees. And in that first day, you go from France into Spain. And about 3 days later, you're in Pamplona.
So you start in France. This is for those who've never heard of it before, and of course you've given, I think, a talk at the library about
it. I did. When I did it in 2013, Santiago de Compostela is where the body of Saint James the Greater rests, and it's a headless body, by the way. I want you to know that. Mm. And pilgrims have been going there for a gazillion years, and there's a bunch of different routes. There's the North Route, there's the Primitivo, there's the Puerto up through Portugal, and I did the French route. It's about 500 miles.
And you walked the whole way?
I walked the whole way back in 2013, but this time, started out in St. John Petaport, and it was miserable. Rain, misty, fog. I could have been hiking on North Dakota for all I knew. And I had probably carrying too much in my backpack, and it ended up that my right Achilles tendon became really tender. And then to compensate, I shifted and walking. My left heel became sore. So I took a 2 week break in Pamplona, in Logroño, and just simply hobbling around those towns, you know, not putting any weight, backpack weight on. And so I ended up about 50% of the trail I did not hike, but I did hike my favorite part from Burgos to León. It's called the Meseta, and that's table in Spanish, and it's just flat. And I just love it. And that reminds me of the North Dakota of North Central Spain.
So you start in, technically in France.
This is the French route. Yeah. This is the French route. And you go up over the Pyrenees down into Roncesvalles. And Roncesvalles is the first place in Spain that you hit. Then you have a couple more days of walking, and you're in Pamplona. Of course, with the bulls, and that's not occurring. That occurs over July, the first weekend in July. I hiked it in 2013 with my sister, and we did it straight through, you know, 12 to 14 mile days. It only took 3 days off, and I thought 11 years later that I would do the same thing, and it turned out I didn't. But it was still, I love Spain. I love its the people, the landscape, the culture, the food, the colors. It's just marvelous.
Now, a person could just go to Spain. You could have just flown into Madrid and done driven around. You've done this hike before. What could you put into words why you decided
to do it again?
To do it again. What drove you to do this?
I'm one of these people who, if you do something and you like it, try it again. And for me, going back, I wanted to see 11 years later how much the trail had changed. See, when my sister and I did it in 2013, we didn't have cell phones. We'd walk into a city and we'd find an albergue, or that would be a pilgrim hostel that where there'd be bunk beds, and you'd get a bunk bed and you'd spend the night, then move on the next morning. One of the differences is, and I don't know if I support it or not, but it's a reality, is that now pilgrims will book 5-6 days in advance where they're going to be.
Ah.
And so albergues, little hostels and things like that are filling up. So, you know, that part has changed. Also, the number of people hiking. This is just the French route. From Sarria Inn, S-A-R-R-I-A, into Santiago, if you hike the last 100 kilometers or 60 miles, you get your certificate of completion. And what's happened, Jack, is that tour companies will have the 5-6 days all plotted out. They'll have groups of 20, 25 people all hiking along together. And that, I have to admit, you know, part of, for me, the experience of the trail is yourself just absorbing the environment around you and a chance for reflection. And when you have 20 groups of 25 people moving around you or past, and these trails are sometimes no more than 10 feet across, you know, it's not, you know, so it's different. It's changed. I think this might have been my last go round with the Camino, at least the French route. I have friends who've done the Northern route, the Portugal route. I might think about one of those, but it's a beautiful country, and it's a way to, and then coming back, spent 3 days in Madrid, and I finally knocked off one of my favorite museums. You know, I love to hit museums, the Prado, and there was Greco, and there was Goya, and Velazquez, and Tintoretto, and all these, wow.
Cool.
Yeah, it really was.
Who are you, who are the other hikers on, or who, what kind of other people do you see? Certainly was a religious pilgrimage for many years. Is it still, do you still see a lot of people going for religious reasons, spiritual reasons, or is it a hike because it's a, you know, because it's a hike? Do you see the kind of people you'd see on a trail here in North Idaho?
It's hard to put your finger on when you have hundreds of thousands of people walking the reasons why. One thing I can say is that hiking came across a couple from New Zealand, a couple from Australia, some from Korea, all over. And I have to admit, I'm going to get a little political now.
I'll get the bleep button.
Right, yeah, here. Hit the bleep button. You know, that they didn't want to talk about the relationship with the spiritual aspect of the Camino or anything. Where are you from? And I'd say the United States. They go, whoa, you've got an election coming up. And they wanted to talk about the impact of how elections go in the United States reverberate throughout the world.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be economically or politically, and how we have a tendency to think, oh, you know, it's just us here in the 50 states and we're impacted. But people wanted to talk politics. And they wanted to talk about how it impacts their country. And I found that interesting.
That's very interesting. And also, it's a little, I would have thought this would have been a nice chance for a person to maybe disconnect from the daily news cycle and get some of those, you know, that the political static off your mind a little bit.
So not a chance.
No.
Not a chance. But, you know, and some of the people I, well, some of the people I met in 2013, I'm still in contact with, Luigi and Roberto from a small village south of Rome. They were cousins. They still are cousins. But I'm still in contact with them. And they hiked part of the Camino with us in 2013. And Miranda and Matt from New Zealand. So this time, hopefully, you know, we encouraged them. I hiked with Terry Pardini and Doug Jones. And Doug was part of the way he started and he ended. But in between, he went to Nice and Rome and Amsterdam and St. Sebastian while I am plotting.
Oh,
boom,
Doug.
Boom. But there's a picture on page 7.
There it is.
Of the reader of Terry, Doug, and myself holding up front pages of past readers in front of the cathedral in Santiago de Compostela. But I tell you, Jack, for me, it's it reinforces, you know, it's sort of like that final frame of Calvin and Hobbes. You know, when that cartoon strip ended, it has Calvin and Hobbes in one of their wagons going off an edge. And it's a magical world out there. Let's explore. It's an amazing world out there. And I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to experience it in terms of just something as small as the wildflowers growing along the side of the trail. Beautiful. And I've got some photographs of wonderful sunrises on the Meseta. It's, you know, it can be very awesome in a very positive way. So that's where I was for. And what about you?
Well, it has been busy here. I was going to ask, does a person camp? Do you bring a tent, or are you able to stop? I forget the word you used, but are you able to stop every night in a bed?
Well, it turns out that for many small villages, the trail has become a source of revenue.
Yeah.
And it's pumped life back into these small villages. And that's one of the things I noticed is, and albergue is where pilgrims stay. Mm-hmm. And it could be a bunk in a bunk bed with 20 other bunk beds in the room you don't need to bring a tent. Mm-hmm. You don't need to bring cooking utensils. There's all sorts of, you know, and they run anywhere. I think our least expensive one was one for 10 euros, which is about $12 to spend the night. Mm-hmm. And you can get a private room if you want to, and that'll put you up at about 20 to 30 euros for the night, where you have your own shower, your own sink, your own bathroom, and that sort of thing. So, you know, but you don't need that. The only thing you need, and literally what I take is, I don't take a full-fledged sleeping bag. I just take a bedroll. Mm-hmm. And, it's all taken care of, and there are so many sites on the internet that you can go to find out about it.
Is it, and then as you're going through, obviously you're kind of out of town for a long, I mean, you're out in the wilderness for some of it, but then you're going every night into a little town or something pretty much.
It's sort of like, you know, let's say if you were hiking between here and Coeur d'Alene, okay, you go to Sagal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then after Sagal, you've got, Algoma,
sure,
or Kokalala,
yeah,
and then you have Athol. You know, you go according to however far you want to walk. And one reason why I like the Meseta is that you have stretches where you don't run into anybody, and it's just you clunking along, just absorbing. And there's books. The guide is one by a guy named, I want to say John is his first name, John Brierley. Mm-hmm. And you can follow that. He breaks it down into like 33, 34 days. But, you know, it's not a race. Mm-hmm. Give yourself enough time to do it.
Are there, and then along the way, are there like shrines? Are you stopping in churches or, you know?
How does the
cultural and the religious aspect of this hike?
All of these villages, and I when I say villages, I mean some of them really small, have these incredible churches. Hmm. And if they're open, they might not be open because there's, you know, Spain is like a lot of other countries where vocations for the priesthood are down. So you might have one priest who has like four or five villages that he services. The church might not be open, but when the church is open, wow. I mean, the altarpieces, the artwork, and that's one of the things that I really enjoy is the icons and the iconography and interpreting different things which you see in a church. And so, yeah, I mean, the churches are, but also the architecture in these small villages, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very cool. Are people going to be able to see like a slideshow or anything like that?
I know Doug took a lot of pictures. I know Terry took a lot of pictures. We've got to get our acts together. I have to admit, I've been back a week.
Yeah.
I arrived late on Thursday night, and I haven't unpacked yet. I just took the stuff out of my backpack, and they're laying on the bed in our guest bedroom. You know, I haven't done that quite yet. So there's a lot of dust that needs settling.
Yeah.
But I'd love to do a presentation like I did last time in the library just to share some of the beauty.
Mm-hmm. The reason that the historic religious reason that people would do this it would be to visit the remains, I guess. And is this like a penance, or are you doing no?
You know, you could well sometimes, you know, you're doing it for your own personal, you know, mm-hmm. Putting your own life in order. There was a period during the medieval time where Jack, pay me money and I'll walk off your sins.
Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Variety of reasons. And, mm-hmm. It's part of that whole notion of doing a pilgrimage, mm-hmm. Putting your own house in order, you know, making peace with, I don't know, as it's moved down through history and today, did go to Mass in the cathedral, but they did not swing. One of the closing things that they do, at least they did in 2013, they don't do it every day now, is a whole big bota fumaria. It's a big incense burner mm-hmm. that they start swaying back. And the reason why is that back in the day when there weren't showers or whatever, the smell in the church from the pilgrims was so overwhelming, they would load this incense burner up with yeah. incense. And let me tell you, it takes 8 people to get it swinging, and it is whoosh,
wow,
whoosh. You know, and if you're in the way, you'll get beheaded.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who did the trail in May said they didn't swing it. They were doing reinforcing the architecture up on high. Wow. So and it wasn't swinging at the Mass that we attended. But mm-hmm. when it goes, you're in awe. But anyway, it's good to be back. I you know, with most of my travels, it's good to be away. It's good to be back. And I'm glad that I just love the fall. Mm-hmm. And should we play a song?
We're ready to.
Okay, let's play a song. It was on this date in October 24th, 1988, that John Fogerty was sued. John Fogerty was the main force behind Creedence Clearwater Revival. And Fantasy Records were an Oakland record company. That's where all of the early CCR music sued John Fogerty because he did a song. This is when he went solo, The Old Man Down the Road. And Fantasy Records says he plagiarized it from himself from mm-hmm. Run Through the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just find the concept to be suing a person for writing a song that is similar to a song that he previously wrote. Usually it's been, you've plagiarized from another artist or another group.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd play Run Through the Jungle, but The Old Man Down the Road. And then maybe in the meantime, you could do some Google search to see if Fogerty lost or if he had to pay Fantasy Records or whatever. I just find that all fascinating.
Yeah, it is an interesting case. We'll be back with more details after this. Creedence. No, it's not Creedence. That was John Fogerty solo from his 1984 comeback record. Talking about The Old Man Down the Road. He was sued. We were talking just before we mm-hmm. played that song. Sued by his the company Fantasy Records, which owned the publishing rights to all the Creedence Clearwater Revival tunes that he had made famous and written. He was sued for copyright infringement, that song was too similar to his previous music, and Fogerty prevailed in that lawsuit, and in fact went on to countersue Saul Zantz and won attorney's fees as well. He brought, during the original lawsuit, he brought his guitar to the stand, and it was a jury trial and demonstrated to the jury. Played excerpts from both songs, demonstrating that many songwriters, himself included, had distinctive styles that could make different compositions sound similar to less discerning ears.
Cool.
But Fogerty won. That is, yes.
On this date in 1988, that lawsuit started.
Yes.
I love that shot about less discerning ears.
I know.
And who is that voice?
Exactly. Who's that third voice we hear? Rob Talbot is here, the executive director of the Panda Theater. We're going to talk a little bit about upcoming events.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. And there are several key ones coming up at the Panda.
Oh, man. We're busy. It's busy. This weekend. Good stuff. Still recovering from last night.
Hey, how was Gaelic Storm? They popped into the studio yesterday, actually.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was we had about 350 people in there on a Wednesday night. Having a good old time, yeah.
Nice.
That was really good. I will say the alarm clock hurt a little bit this morning after cleaning up after that mess.
I regret. I almost made it down last night, but didn't do it.
It was a great show. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were dancing, and they were people of all ages. People from Sandpoint, people from St. Mary's, people from Spokane and Coeur d'Alene came up to see it and
cool.
Join us. And it was a good time. Thanks for the to the Edgewater too for putting a band up for us.
Oh, that's nice. It's not, I like to see the, you know, the Panada stretching out a little bit.
That's fun.
And on a Wednesday night too. Kind of, you never know about a Wednesday night.
Yeah, you know, these people have noticed that Sandpoint. Some people have noticed at Sandpoint. We don't. It's harder to get some of the bigger names and bigger acts, and so folks, if they see it on Tuesday night at Eichardt's, they've got to realize, whoa, wait a minute. If it's Tuesday night at Eichardt's, it's something. So they show up, and I think people are starting to realize that if it's midweek at the Panada, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Right.
It's usually a national or internationally touring band that we just can't afford on Friday.
Open date.
Right, yeah,
and that's the date they got available between
Saturday or something. Yeah.
For them, it was between Portland, and they're headed east through Montana. They're going to be in Whitefish tonight. So
cool.
We were just kind of on the way, and we were
stop.
Able to give them a stop and a good time. I think they were quite surprised and pleasantly surprised about how much fun they had in North Idaho on a Wednesday night.
Hopefully we see him again. They were cool.
Yeah. They sounded pretty excited about it. Yeah, they, from stage, were even like, "Yeah, let's make this an annual thing.
Let's do it." All right. Hey, okay. What's coming up? You got busy weekend. We mentioned what's coming up tonight.
It is busy. We got Cello Bop presented by Pondere Arts Council. He's an amazing cellist. He's going to do a set on his own, and then he's going to do a set to silent film. Which will be a really, really neat throwback to what the Panada was originally created for.
A Buster Keaton movie.
Yeah, a Buster Keaton movie. It's going to be really, really fun evening. A little lower key than last night, which is probably probably a good thing for our staff and crew. Shout out, by the way, shout out to the volunteers last night who stayed open, kept the concessions going, and then stayed late to help clean up and... We've got volunteers over there cleaning up now, so it's amazing what the volunteers accomplish and make possible. So shout out to them while I was thinking about it. But we also have Rocky Horror. The party continues tomorrow night with Rocky Horror Picture Show, and those tickets are flying too. We've got a limited number. We've got a bunch of bags full of goodies and tricks. So when people come in, we've got instructions, and we've got hosts that will be telling people, you know, kind of giving people a heads up on when to throw things or when to cover their heads with newspaper or whatnot. So that's going to be a really fun night on Friday. A bit of a party again. So come join us for that if you dare.
8 p.m. on Friday night, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep. And that is a Panada Presents event as well as it was the one last night. So those tickets, you know, just be aware that if it's Panada Presents, then that is your tickets are helping the Panada survive and thrive.
Tell us what's going on in the Little Theater.
I was hoping you would ask. Uh-huh. Oh, man. It's been really cool seeing this develop. So we've got the Little Theater of Horrors, and we've teamed up with Nova High to... transform the Little Theater into a haunted house. And I gotta tell you, it doesn't, if there's no one else in there, the lights are off, it doesn't take much to turn that place into a haunted house. It's a the old Kamloops is a little spooky even without decorations and with stuff plopping out of the ceiling and jumping out of the walls. It gets a little hairy. I've been walking each night after I'm done with work. I'll walk through and check out the progress because it's been developing over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Been really cool to see what the kids and parents and staff of Nova High have accomplished over there. It's going to be fun. And we got that going. Starts tonight.
Tonight.
Okay. Yeah. We're kicking that off tonight and running that through Halloween. So that's from 5 to 8 p.m. And then the little storefront there, we've got a little kids' room too. So little tactile things and things that are kind of neat and, you know, not scary, but might be a little spooky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun in that front retail space. And then we'll run you through the venue and kind of out the back. And I think it'll be a good time. And all those proceeds go to, will be split between Nova High and the Panada. So it's a fundraiser for both organizations. So come out, hang out, and, maybe come through a couple times if you want.
Have you been through? You've observed the progress. Are you going to are you going to do a prototype walk through the haunted house, see if it's scary enough?
Am I going to do it?
Yeah.
I don't want to, but I think I have to.
I think you do.
I don't think I've been to one. I don't think I've been to a haunted house myself since probably high school, which
right.
I don't want to do the math on that at this point. But yeah, it's been a while.
Uh-huh.
But it, like I said, I've walked through each afternoon just to see the progress, and it's once you put some actors and actresses in there, really trying to make me scared. I'm a little concerned about how this is going to go.
Yeah. Okay. Can you do it without spoiling any of the surprises? Can you tell us anything more about it, or anything in particular that they've done that you were pleased to see or particularly impressed by?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way that it is.
Is it still a theater? Would be my question. Is it like a haunted theater, or what? Is there a theme to it?
There is some attachment to that theme. Yes.
Yes. Cool.
So it is a little theater of horrors, mm-hmm. but it will be unrecognizable in a lot of ways. Like you'll go into that. For those of you that are familiar with the little theater, you go into the lobby, and that will be somewhat recognizable, but it starts to change pretty drastically from there, and it. It's not just a straight walkthrough. It's probably four or five times the distance to the back that they wind you through and introduce you to several situations.
This is KRFY 88.
So it's gonna be a lot of fun. And for those of you that like it, for me, I'm a little nervous. But anyway.
and again, the nights are.
The nights are starting tonight.
It'll be starting tonight.
Tonight through Halloween.
Including Halloween.
Including Halloween, yes.
Okay, and it's 5 to 8 o'clock?
5 to 8 o'clock,
yes. You can just wander right on down.
You can come on down, come into the retail space, and we'll have some refreshments in there, some hot cider, some sodas, and some candy if you want to have that while you wait. And we'll be going on schedule, like I think it's every 5 or 10 minutes or something
so
like
it's
that.
So it's led by, it's just people not wandering around.
Correct.
Little groups being led through.
Correct.
Got it.
And then we'll pop out the back and show you how to get around.
There are other events going on in town, and as usual, it's 9 o'clock and we're still chatting.
Sorry, Bird Note.
Yeah. let me run through a couple other things going on out at the Pine Street, at the Sled Hill, at the Pine Street Sled Hill, not up in the woods, but at the Pine Street Sled Hill in those woods, the Kinnicksu Land Trust is hosting a Spooky Spirits Halloween Festival this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. There is a Halloween party and fundraiser at 1007 West Superior. Including a dinner from 113 Main. I guess you have to register for that one. There's a winter welcome coming on Saturday, October 26th as well. So you're going to have to kind of pick what mood you're in. Are you in a spooky mood, or are you going? Are you excited for the winter? The Sandpoint Nordic Club is hosting their winter welcome event. If you were listening to the morning show on Tuesday this week, you would have heard Phil talking about that. And let's see. There's also a movie night, a ski movie tonight at McDuff's, the Beer Hall. They're hosting a a presentation of a ski movie for the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. That's a fundraiser for that organization. Yes, it's the weekend before Halloween is it's a busy time in town.
Yes, it is.
Is there, let's see, anything more between now and next Thursday, when next we see somebody from the Panhandle? Anything else you want to throw out there?
I just throw out that a couple of things, but there's three events coming up in November, early December, that I'd like to just put on people's radars. Our birthday, our 97th birthday party with Raquel Rodriguez and Lucas Brown with the Nightmares. That's going to be a really fun night on Saturday, November 16th. It's $20 for an internationally touring R&B soul artist. Raquel is amazing. I've been trying to get her to town for about 4 years now, and she's just a phenomenal artist. I think it's going to be a good party in the Panhandle, set to celebrate our 97th birthday. Shook Twins Giving Thanks show on November 30th. That one always sells out or gets real close. Tickets are going hot for that one, so don't wait. And then we have the Gothard Sisters are coming back to town for their fourth year in a row, or third year in a row, and that'll be Saturday, December 7th, and we're already past halfway sold out for that one. So if you want to go to that one, get those tickets now. And we just got a great lineup. If you go on our go to the website, panhandle.org/events, that'll give you a really good list look at what we've got going on, and it's a pretty great lineup. I'm really stoked with what we got going on.
All right. Yeah, exciting times. Jim, any other events you wanted to highlight before?
Well, for all the events, you can go to Sandpoint Online and get all your information, because, you know, there is a lot happening, not only at the Panhandle, but throughout town. And you don't want to miss anything.
Certainly there is. Next week, I think we're actually talking to Side Boob, who's going to be playing at we're talking to the Shook Twins as part of their side project, Side Boob, and that will be fun, and that's actually on Halloween morning, so perhaps we'll exchange some spooky stories.
If you notice, the Panhandle has nothing going on that night, because we're all going.
That's going to be a fun one. Okay, we're going to play Bird Note now, and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. It is that time. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. This is Panhandle Community Radio.
And I'll be doing a live show tonight at 9 o'clock, the KRFY Folk Show.
Hey, yes, excellent. Welcome back. Let's also, good. You mentioned, Jim, that we wanted to say thanks to Velma.
Velma, Queen of Fun. She's heading back to Georgia for the winter months, and she's going to be hitting the road early next week. We want to wish her safe travels. She did a bang-up job on the Hump Day Cafe. Last night was her last live Hump Day Cafe, and we're going to miss her.
The music on Wednesday night continues. The mix curated by Velma, Queen of Fun, will continue, but she won't be live in the studio until sometime next spring.
Spring.
That's right. Yes. Thanks for another wonderful summer of music on Wednesday nights, Velma. And
absolutely.
Good luck out there. Good luck on the roads. Safe travels.
You bet. Okay. Jack, good to be back and good to see you.